So when I was a young kid, I guess you could say I was hard of hearing. You may not have known that about me. I didn't hear very well. People would talk to me. And my mom's here today, so she can verify here. I couldn't hear very well. I would hear things, but then I you know, sometimes people's mouth would be moving, and I really just couldn't make out what it was. I can remember coming home from school, and like every kid, when you come home from school, your mom asks you that one very, you could say, annoying question. They say, "What'd you learn at school today?" And my answer, most of the time, was typical kid question or answer. I don't know. So I had a hard time remembering. I was at school for 6 to 8 hours or whatever it was, and then afterwards I came home and it was already gone. But we probably went over some good stuff. I remember also sometimes, use mom here because she's here. She's a good example. I remember her talking to me, and then when she was talking to me and obviously giving me some instructions, she would see this blank, kind of glassy-eyed response. And the typical mom, I'm sure all of you have heard this, you say, "What did I just tell you? Or what did I just say?" And most of the time the answer was, you're trying to really think, but you weren't listening at all. So most of the time my answer was, "I don't know." Actually, my mom's here. Most of the time I probably made up something, but it probably wasn't right. And like I said, I was hard of hearing. But there was no physical problem with my hearing. I could audibly hear everything that everybody was speaking. So it was more of me, and it was more of an understanding thing rather than just a hearing thing. Because I think I hear, and I hear well. It just didn't, a lot of the things didn't register. And I think that's normal when you're young. And I think it's almost the new norm for us when we get older as well. And I think a lot of us today, we still kind of have this issue of we're hearing, we're physically hearing, but things are not registering. You know, unfortunately, I think sometimes we can leave the sanctuary here, we can go home, we can have a meal, and if somebody asks us, "What did the pastor speak about?" We should be able to answer, but unfortunately, sometimes it's, and we start saying it, it was actually last week's. But we were actually here, we were actually in God's church, and we were actually saying amen when the preacher was speaking, when the pastor was speaking. We heard all of the words. We said to the pastor, "Thank you for a great sermon," but just a few hours later, blank, there was nothing there. So that's a choice that we make as humans. When we hear things and things come into our ear and they get into our brain and we do not remember them, we're just putting them aside. Because we can remember, but a lot of times we put it aside and we don't sometimes make God's word a priority in our lives when it's spoken to us. And we do this often. The world of hearing is actually, it's a pretty incredible world, the world of hearing and what our ears do. Right now, when we're here or if we're outside, there are sound waves that we cannot see that are bouncing off walls, that are bouncing off chairs, that are bouncing off us, high frequency, low frequency, ones that we can hear, ones that we can't hear. It's just an incredible world, and we know that there are sound waves. So there's waves going all over the place here today. You're hearing me speak, but you're also hearing cracks in the ceiling. You're hearing a kid wrestling around, or you're hearing somebody trying to open up a water. This world of hearing is incredible, and almost everything has a sound. We hear wind when the wind is rushing. We hear water when it's moving. We hear the voices, we hear people talking, we hear birds chirping and singing, we hear car engines, we hear electronics, and the very worst thing, the very worst sound possible to man, we can hear leaf blowers. I hate the sound of leaf blowers. I don't know if there is actually a place in this world that you can go and you can shut off every sound and still not in the faint distance somewhere hear a leaf blower. I don't like those ones. So sound waves, when they're going around, they're actually moving at different frequencies. They go into the ear. The ear filters those sound waves out, and then it hits the eardrum. And inside the eardrum, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens that I'm not too smart enough to figure out, but there's a lot that happens there. And then it tells the brain and gives the brain a signal that what's going on around us or what has been said. And as humans, we have a lot of pre-registered sounds and responses that are programmed in our heads. Things that we never learned or were never taught. If you hear an explosion, whether you know what an explosion or you don't know what an explosion is, your body has this reaction, right? But none of us learned that. None of us heard an explosion and looked at our parents and go, oh. So another one is, if you hear screeching tires, we all know what that sound is, right? And we all look around. If you hear those screeching tires coming from right behind you, prepare for impact. If you hear an avalanche and just this crushing ice and melted snow and everything coming, that's not something that you have to hear to, when you hear it, know that something bad is going to happen. You hear a tree cracking and breaking inside the forest. We all have these pre-registered responses to these hearings. So we are all created beings. We are all created by our loving Heavenly Father. Why isn't God's word pre-programmed in our minds like some of these explosions and these other things? Why isn't God's word, when we hear God's word being spoken, something that is pre-registered with a response and that we remember what happens? Because we see that it is not, our minds are not programmed like that, to hear God's word and to always have a response. We see even from Adam and Eve, they heard God's word, they knew God's word, and it still didn't really resonate. And they made that, you know, different decisions that they shouldn't have made. And in our world today, so we hear so many things, and we talk about the world of hearing, but people these days tend to focus a little bit more on the visual. We like to have the audio as well. We like the hearing, but we're very visual people. We like to see things that are going on. And it is interesting how we can be selective in our hearing, but we can't be very selective in our seeing. What we see is what we see. We can't I guess we can in some way filter those out, because you just turn away when you see things that you don't like, but you still see it. And I really wish we were very selective in our sense of smell. Wouldn't that be great to just be able to kind of just turn off like our hearing, the sense of smell? When you're at a construction zone and it's 105 outside and you have to use the porta potty, it would be really great to be able to just turn off that sense of smell, and like kind of like we do with being very selective in our hearing. Most people are not good at listening. We're not very good at hearing. And we should be able to be good at hearing. And we focus a lot on our seeing, but seeing also has its downfalls as well. When we're looking, all we can see is, I can see my hand here and about here. All we can see is what's going forward. But when we hear, we can hear all around us, up, down, beside, back. And we should be really in touch, and we should be able to fine-tune our hearing. I once read a story about a man who was blind and was talking about how his world was and how he could see with hearing. And it was incredible, his story. He was actually the first blind man ever to climb Mount Everest. He climbed Mount Everest being blind. And it was really incredible, because what he could do is he was a big hiker. He loved to hike, and he could see his surroundings by his walking sticks. He could hear things, but then he would smack his walking stick sometimes on the ground or on a stick or on something else that he found, and he could hear the vibrations of where that sound was echoing off, and he could see if he was in a crevasse. He could see if there was a drop-off. So he could hear so many different things. And it was interesting when I read about this to hear his perspective and to know about his perspective, because he actually lost his eyesight when he was in high school. So he actually knows both worlds. He knows the seeing world, and then he knows the blind world. And so he was just talking about just how incredible sound and hearing can be, and how he still feels that he can see with his hearing. I just thought that was incredible. And our hearing is, or we could say can be, just a completely incredible tool for us. And it's even most important for us Christians today, because I think all of us here, we want to hear better. Who here wants to hear a little bit better? Especially when it pertains to God's word, right? We want to hear better. We want to be able to listen to God when he speaks. Pastor Fred, I think, uses it in every single sermon, that still, small voice. I always love it. He always says it. And I love it. God speaks to us in that still, small voice. But if we're not paying attention to it, we're not hearing it. So there is a reason why I'm going over a lot of these things and why we're talking about hearing. Because when we see something in the Bible that is oftentimes repeated, isn't it pretty important that we should listen to it and see what it has to say when the Bible keeps repeating something? Well, the Bible does repeat this phrase quite often, and most of the time we find it where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to people. We see it mainly when he's speaking in parables, and we also find it in Revelations when it's talking about the last churches. But that's another part that we're not going to get into today, because that would just make it too long. So basically, it's what Kennedy read. It's a very short verse, but it is repeated, and this saying is repeated throughout the Bible. I didn't count how many times. I think it's over 20 times that Jesus uses this. Well, either Jesus or in Revelations. It is Matthew 15. It says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So when I was doing a study of the Bible, I just kept on seeing this when he was talking about all the parables. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what does that saying really mean? Because on the superficial, just reading the text, we can get a pretty good understanding of what it means. So basically, this is Jesus saying, hey, if you can hear, now might be a good time to pay attention. You might want to hear. And it also, so not only just reading what that simple verse says, but also getting into where Jesus used this saying, I think it gives us a pretty good understanding of what that saying means and other things that Jesus is trying to focus on. So I do want to go over most of one chapter that is in the Bible, and that is Mark 4. So if you do have your Bibles, let's open up to Mark 4. We are going to be there the whole time that we go over this. And at the beginning of Mark 4, when it starts off, basically this is still the introductory part of Jesus gathering his disciples together, starting his ministry. So Mark 4, 1 is where we're going to start reading. So Mark 4, 1 says this. It says, "And he began again to teach by the sea, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. And he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." So we'll stop there real quick after verse 1. So how many people was Jesus talking to? There was a multitude of people talking, who Jesus was talking to, right? So we know the disciples were there. We know that there were people who were interested in Jesus and in his teachings. We know that they were there. So we see already two different types of peoples. Then we see that, well, we don't see, but we can guess that there were just passerbys, people who just were, hey, why are all these people congregating? Let me go check out and see what's going on. And then we also know that when Jesus was speaking, most of the time when he was speaking, there were also other people that we can consider them the bad guys. We can consider them the guys that were just trying to look at what Jesus was saying and try and turn his words. And they were looking out for bad instead of for good. So we see this different mixture, this different multitude of people as Jesus is speaking. And right here in Mark 4, we're going to get into the parable of the sower. So let's go ahead and get more into it. Let's just read real quick the parable of the sower. So starting with Mark 4, verse 2. It says, "And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine." Verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came up and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And some fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, 60, and some 100. And Mark 4, verse 9 says, "And he said unto them, he hath ears to hear, let him hear." So what a great parable that is, right? The parable of the sower. I think we're all pretty much familiar with the parable of the sower. And it is a very great parable, especially for our day, for us in the time that we're living in. This parable is for us. So my question here for you, and you don't have to answer, but just think about it. The question here is, who was this parable for? Because we see that Jesus is talking to a multitude of people, people of different backgrounds, some followers, some that are not following. And the other question is, who was able to understand this parable that Jesus was talking about? Because not a lot of people had been following Jesus until this time. And it hadn't been a very long time since Jesus had begun. Some people, their response to the parable of the sower was they were wondering what these words had to do with them. Why is this guy, what is so important that we have a multitude of people? He has to get on a boat and go out to sea so that we can hear correctly these words. But for some people, this probably really provoked a lot of deep thought and kind of reflection on, okay, what is that? I think I have it here. Some could care less and they probably walked away. Some believed in what Jesus was saying, but they just needed a little bit more information to fully understand what he was talking about. And then Jesus finishes the parable again with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus was obviously emphasizing what he had just talked about and how the words were important, how this parable was important. If we continue on and we read Mark 4, if we continue on in verse 10, right after the parable of the sower, right after Jesus talks about ears and letting them hear, he says this. It says in Mark 4, verse 10, "And when he was alone," so that means they were no longer the multitude of people. So Jesus said this, "He who has ears, let him hear," to the multitude. But now when it's just the disciples, he says, "When they were alone, that they were about with him, the 12 asked him about of the parable. And he said unto them," in verse 11, "Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Wait, without what? Could it be possible that those who are without are the ones that possibly don't have ears to hear? In verse 12, it continues to say that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. So they had ears to hear. Everybody that was there had ears to hear, but most of them did not hear. So here we have the disciples that they were not fully understanding this message that Jesus was talking. So once they get him aside, they're asking him a little bit more about this parable. So if the disciples had a hard time understanding this parable, what about the other people? They probably had a really hard time knowing what this parable was supposed to be about. And so basically Jesus is saying to them, to the disciples, no, this message is for you, right? This message was for the disciples. In Mark 4:11, it says, unto who is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God? To the disciples. And today that's us. Today we are the ones that are to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And we may not always understand it at first, but God will make sure that we will understand. But we have to have ears to hear him. So all the people heard the message, but not all the people understood the message. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to see now Jesus gets into in Mark 4. He gets into explaining what this parable is about. Why is it important? There may be some of you here who are already wondering if you have ears to hear, if you truly have ears to hear God and to hear God, what God has to say. And if that's true, amen. That means the Holy Spirit's here with us today. So amen for that. Mark 4, verse 13. This is Jesus explaining the parable. Now we start to get into the good stuff. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you all know these parables? Basically, Jesus is saying to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand these things which I speak to you? Anybody remember back into their school days? I know some, for some of you it was a long time ago. So back in my school days, I was often lost in math class when we had all these equations and we're going over things and I'm trying to look at everybody else's answers, not technically get the answer, but just to kind of understand, because with math, I get lost very quick. But you know what happens is when I was lost, if the teacher did come over to me and said, it went over a couple of the equations together, got it. Okay, thank you. And then I was able to get it. I think this is the exact same that Jesus is doing with the disciples. This is, I think, the first parable and the first couple parables that Jesus is telling them about. He often has to explain it because they have ears, but they're really not hearing like they need to hear. So Jesus asked them right now, and basically when he's saying this, he's asking them to change the way that they hear, to change the way they look at the world around them, because they are no longer working as fishermen or as tradesmen. They are now working for him. They are now working for the Heavenly Father. They're working for the Messiah now. So they need to change a little bit about how they hear. How they heard before is not how they're going to hear now. And I think we have fallen into the same trap. We are not, as God's people today, we're not necessarily hearing like we really need to hear. We're still trying to hear as the way the world talks to us. If we're trying to hear God's words and his voice speaking to us, he's not going to speak like they speak to us on TV. He's not going to speak like they speak to us in the modern day songs. So Jesus is helping them to get going. So now let's get in. Jesus, verse 14, Mark 4:14 is really where Jesus gets into explaining this parable and how they need to hear. Listen how many times we hear the word hear or heard in this explanation of the parable. It says, the sower soweth the world. And these are they that then, let's start that over. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that has been sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who then when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And verse 17, and have no root in themselves. And so endure for but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of others, of other things entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Such hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So basically in this parable, we have the seeds, and the seeds are falling in different types of soils. We see the ones that fall on the wayside and they get eaten right up. We see the ones that live for a little bit, they're quick, but they have no soil, they have no roots, and they die. And some battle because they're trying to grow up in the thorns and in the weeds, and some land in good soils. The hearing of God's word does not always bring good results. It always brings results, but it's not always good results. Like these seeds, there's only one here that had a good result, and that was the one that found in the good soil. All the other ones perished. So we see that there are always results. When people hear God's word, there are always results. It's either a good result and a changed life. There's no change and there's rejection, or there's just nothing. But even nothing is a result. If you're trying to do some tests and you're trying to qualify things, if nothing changes, that still is a result. Who in this parable has ears to hear? Only one truly has ears to hear, and those are the ones that fell on the good soil. Now, we are going to skip a couple of verses in Mark chapter 4, although Jesus does, in this short paragraph here from verses 21 to 25, Jesus does use that saying again, "He who has an ear, let him hear." But we're going to go ahead and skip down to verses 26. And I really like this addition here, because it's not the parable of the sower, but is now the parable of the growing seed, which has a direct connection to the parable of the sower. So Mark 4, verse 26, it says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if man should cast seed unto the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and grow up, he knoweth not how." Verse 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in sickle, because the harvest is come." And I chose to read this out of the King James because it follows closest to what the original translation was when it says here, when we're reading in verse 28, where it says, "First the blade, then the ear." We're talking about the ear of the corn here. So in this parable right here, one of the first things we see is that the seeds, they sprout up. Okay? But we don't know when, or we don't know how the seeds are going to sprout up. Because not all seeds spring up at the same time. Sometimes I wish that the seeds that we plant could sprout up right away, right? Don't we all wish that? But that doesn't happen. And most of the time, that's not the case. And we don't know how the seeds grow. Remembering back to our Bible verse, the scripture reading, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So when Jesus was speaking to the multitude, some of the people understood it right away, right? They got it. But there were very few who got it right away. Even the disciples needed a little bit of clarification. Some didn't. Some needed a little bit more clarification. Some people They hear the word, they forget about the word for some time, and then all of a sudden down the line, they realize one day what Jesus was talking about or what God's word was saying. I like to plant. I like plants. Has anyone ever planted some seeds and you water them, you care for them, and then they just don't spring up? Then you kind of forget about them. And then one day you're like, oh, hey, there it is. They sprout up. I remember sitting in our backyard with my wife. She planted some seeds with a Mexican herb that they like to use for cooking, and it never came up. And then all of a sudden her mom was over and she goes, hey, look at that. It came up. Eventually it came up. And don't we all wish that when we are sharing God's word, that it all the seeds, they get planted, they grow right away, they become plants, and that they start to produce fruit on their own. Isn't it great? I wish our family and our friends could be that way as well, but most of the time it's not. But what we're hoping for is that a little bit down the line, they are going to remember God's word, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to grow. So hopefully, every single one of us that are here today, hopefully we are all sowers. That is the great desire, right? That is what we want. We all should be sowers. We all should be out planting our seeds, because we all want to see those precious sprouts come up. Sometimes we want to see those precious plants grow up, that first blade, that first little spot of green come up so much that we water it, and then we can water again, and we water over and over. And with good intention, we're doing the watering, but actually, it can have a negative effect. Because we don't know when the seed has started to sprout. If the seed hasn't sprouted, it can't even use water, and we're sitting there trying to water. We can drown the seeds, right? So what we need to do is we need to plant the seeds, make sure it's planted well, and then we just kind of need to, at some point, take a step back. Because that spot between where the seed is and where we are, in between, that should be where God is. And we should be behind him and waiting for him to do his work. The parable that we just read about, it is Jesus that knows and Jesus that needs to do the watching. We don't need to be watching our seeds day and night. Jesus is the one doing that. And one thing worse than just overwatering, one of the very worst things that we can do is when we plant a seed, is we go and we try and dig it up to see if that seed has sprouted or not. Has anybody tried to do that? Remember as a kid trying to grow, you plant the avocado seeds and you try and see if it's going to grow up. Well, around where the seed is placed in the soil, right around that seed where the soil is, once it's watered and once it sits, it becomes this very delicate ecosystem in where that seed in the soil is. And if we disrupt that, it's done. There are some seeds that are very resilient, but most seeds aren't. You cannot disrupt the soil right after you plant the seed. One extra thing is that I think we can fall in the trap of doing as well, is not only overwatering the seeds and digging up the soil to check the seeds, is we can, and I think we do sometimes, fall into the habit of planting a couple of seeds, and then we're sitting and waiting. And while we're sitting and waiting for this plant to grow, for this seed to sprout, what are we not doing? We're not sowing more seed. We sow a little bit and we wait. We sow a little bit and we wait. We need to just be sowing all over the place, getting as many seeds out as possible. Farmers, when they go out and plant 100 acres, they don't put one line of tomato seeds and then wait to see if it's going to grow. They keep going. They plant everything. And they keep moving. So I think sometimes we can fall in the trap of, we're too busy watching to see if seeds are going to grow. We're too busy trying to water seeds when we need to just keep sowing. Who here loves the book Christ Object Lessons? I love that book. Mine's falling apart. I think I need to go to the ABC and get another one. Christ Object Lessons, page 62 and 63. It says, the husband who putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come can be no other than Christ. He who has in the last day, let me start that over. I can't read very well here. He who at the last great day will reap the harvest of earth, but the sower of the seed represents those who labor in Christ's stead. The seed is said to spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. And this is not true of the Son of God. Christ does not sleep over his charge, but watches it day and night. He is not ignorant to how the seed grows. So Jesus knows how the seed grows. We don't know how the seed grows. Let's leave that up to him. I love my sleep at night. I don't want to be up day and night watching. Let's leave it to Jesus. A couple of paragraphs, and then in page 65 and 66, it says this. The germination of the seed represents the beginning of spiritual life. And the development of the plant is a beautiful figure of Christian growth. As in nature, so in grace, there can be no life without growth. A plant must either grow or die. As it groweth, it's silent and imperceptible, but continuous, so is the development of the Christian life. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect, yet if God's purpose is fulfilled, there will be continual advancement. Sanctification is of the work of a lifetime. As our opportunity multiply, our experience will enlarge and our knowledge will increase. We shall become strong to bear the responsibility, and our maturity will be in proportion to our privileges. We do the scattering of the seeds. We're in that connection. We do the scattering of these seeds. And what is the seed? Just to clarify here so we're all on the same page. The seed is the word of God when we're sharing the word of God. And what is the soil? The soil represents the people's hearts that receive the seed. And the plant is a product of the word of God, which is the seed working together with the soil. All of that working together. And it's an incredible process because most of when you plant a seed, you never plant a seed that is still green. Like when you go, most of them are dried up, they're shriveled up, they don't look like they're worth anything. And you grab that seed and you put it into some dirty soil out in the middle of nowhere. And then it can be yet transformed into this wonderful growing plant. You have the DNA of the seed, which grows in the plant, telling the plant what color it's going to be, what kind of flowers it has, how big it's going to get. You have the DNA of that seed, and you have that mixed with the elements because that plant is pulling out of the elements that are put into that soil. When seeds germinate, the root is what starts first. Then we see the blade come out of the soil. When there is a seed planted, nobody can do anything about the process after. I mean, of course, we can water, but that's basically about it. To help the process of the seed, we're not to do anything else. God is the only one that really takes this process. So once the seed grows, we see that blade, it continues to grow, and it will grow, if we go back to the verse that we were reading earlier, it will grow until it grows an ear. It grows until it has an ear, possibly an ear to hear. And once the ear can hear, it can then produce its fruit and be fruitful. Remember back to Mark 28, Mark 4, verse 28. It says, first the blade, then the ear, and that after the full corn in the ear. So why is any of this important today? It's important because we have a hearing problem as God's people today. We cannot hear God until we have a certain amount of spiritual growth. The seed starts in the germination process. That all starts with hearing God's word. You following me here? The first step is hearing God's word so that this seed can start growing into a plant. But then once the plant grows and we have the blade, and once it starts to grow even more, then it needs to, in order to grow, it needs to grow an ear because it needs to hear again. In the growth of a Christian, in the growth with God, we cannot just have that first initial hearing of God and then it sprouts and we're good for the rest of our life. We need to continue to hear God. We need to grow ears so that we can be able to produce fruit. So it all starts with that hearing. People often think, well, you know, when we can talk about this parable, well, I don't really have great soil, so how is a seed going to grow in me? Right? If we're talking about this parable, some fall by the wayside because they don't even have a heart that can receive the seed. But most of the other people at least have some soil where they can receive the seed. Soil is good, and the parable of the soil is good soil, but that doesn't mean that soil was always good soil. Farmers, when they're about to go ahead and plant, when they're going to plant something, there is so much work done before the planting. They go up and they rip with these big machines. They go ahead and rip this dry, crusty ground, and they rip it 4 feet deep. And then you have these big, massive chunks of soil. And then they have other machines that come through about 2 feet deep. And they rip it up and they break all of those big boulders, all these big rocks and everything, down into something a little bit more plausible that you can work with. And then another tractor comes by and it really mixes up all the soil and makes it nice and soft and fluffy. And then they come through and they water it a little bit. And then they come through and they put some fertilizer in it so that when the seed is planted, they have something to grow. And then they put some natural amendments and some manure in it. They put so much work into the soil before it becomes good soil. So people may say, well, I don't have a heart. I don't have that good soil that maybe you had. No, you don't. Let's get out the machines. Let's start working on that heart. Let's get out the till. Let's start mixing that heart up so that you can receive that seed. And a lot of the stuff we can do, we can start helping prepare that good soil before we even share the seed in the Word of God. We can do it by lifestyle, by example. We can do so many other things. Farmers never go out and just plant. They do not plant until they have the right soil, the right consistency, the right fix, the right feel. Christ Object Lessons, page 21. It says, Jesus desired to awaken inquiry. He sought to arouse the careless and impress the truth upon the heart. Parable teaching was popular and commanded the respect and attention not only of the Jews, but of the people of other nations. No more effective method of instruction could he have employed. If the hearers had desired a knowledge of divine things, they might have understood his words. And then it finishes saying, for he is always willing to explain to them, to the honest inquirer. Do you hear that? Do you remember the title of the sermon? If his hearers had a desire of divine things, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This quote here in Christ Object Lessons kind of really opens up kind of what we're talking about here, because what Christ taught, all would be heard. Everybody's audibly going to hear this message, but not everybody is going to understand the message. But if the people had a desire to know divine things, Jesus would make sure he explained and he talked to them with his word until they had a great desire or they had the understanding. Jesus takes his time. He took his time to explain over and over and over to his disciples his plan and his message. His disciples were handpicked and chosen from him, but he still needed to speak to them over and over. If you are out there and you have a desire to know more of God's word, listen to him. Ask him for help. He is going to show you the way. Leave that seed, germination, and growth to him. God wants to see our desires. If you are a member of our church, I hope that we are all hearing God. We are all hearing what he has to say. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have a lot to say, right? We have a lot to say. But what we need to do is when we are planting our seeds, when we're planting our seeds and we're talking to people, we really need to focus like Jesus is focusing on these parables. Things that are very easy for people to hear. Things that people can understand, that they can get. Things that are easy to hear. The words that we are using, I think sometimes might be a little harsh. And sadly, I have heard brothers and sisters, and I think I've done it in the past as well, that we're going out and we're trying to talk to people like the Pharisees would talk to people, rather than how Jesus would talk to people. We cannot go around and beat people with God's law. We need to talk to Jesus, how Jesus spoke to his people, to all the multitude of people. Jesus had great results. So look at our results on getting to talk to people and look at Jesus's results. And if our results are as good as Jesus, keep doing what you're doing. If you're not, we might want to go over to more how Jesus talks to people. Because his approach, it seemed to me, was very good. And I think he had a lot of great results. The last quote that I did want to share with everybody today comes again from Christ Object Lessons. It was the next chapter that we were just reading. It says, again, Christ had truths to present which the people were unprepared to accept or even understand. For this reason, he also taught them in parables by connecting his teachings with the scenes of life, experience, or nature. He secured their attention and impressed their hearts. Afterwards, as they looked upon the objects that illustrated his lessons, they recalled the words of the divine teacher. To minds that were open to the Holy Spirit, the significance of the Savior's teaching unfolded more and more. Mysteries grew clear. That which had been hard to grasp became evident. At some points in our lives, we become hard of hearing. And our hardness of hearing can really affect our lives. We really need to open up our ears to be able to hear God. So many people out there need our help, and they are not getting our help. In the beginning, God started with words. Words were spoken. Let there be, and we can continue. Started with words. People listen, things listen, the world was created. God spoke to Noah. Noah listened, the ark was created, God's people were saved. Some weren't saved. Jesus spoke, the wind and waves listened, and they calmed. God is also calling his people. God is also talking to his people. Still today, just like all throughout the Bible, he has been speaking to us. So there are four words that I would like to close with today. First word is hear. Hear. The second word is grow. The fourth word is so, or the third word is so. The fourth word is produce. We need to hear the word of God. We need to grow in the word of God. We need to sow the word of God. And we need to produce in the word of God. Many times Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I'll leave you with this question. Do we have ears that hear? Do we have ears that hear God's voice?
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that's flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to
Thank you so much for speaking to us today. Help us to be able to hear your voice, Lord. Help us to be able to have ears that will hear. Help us to be able to sow the seed. Help us to be able to do the job that you have left us to do, Lord. There are so many people that still need to hear your word. Help us first be able to hear it so that we can share it with others, Lord. Thank you so much for speaking to us today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.